Hello, this is David J. Howe from Telos Publishing Limited, and you're listening to Parsec on Siren FM.
Yes, it's a new year, and it's a new ident, it's a new intro. Still the same old Parsec. Dave Milling will be joining us once he comes out of the Time Continuum Tunnel on a show which actually will be taking us through a reflection on DigiCon 2015 at the Doncaster Racecourse, a superlative event. Some interviews will be featuring during the course of the show, including the man you've just heard, David Howe, Chief Executive Officer of Telos Communications. We've got ace crime writer and science fiction fan Jenny Finch online, and a whole heap of other goodies, all this and more on the first Parsec of 2015 for Siren 107.3 FM. We're speaking now, of course, to David Howe, and it's good to meet you in person, David.
Hi, Alex. Yes, it's good to be here and good to meet you. Yes.
This is looking really good. I mean, I must admit, it's the first time I've seen Doncaster Racecourse claimed by fandom in such a wonderful way.
Oh, these events are always fantastic like that, is that, as you say, is like what would normally be full of, like, I don't know, women in jodhpurs and horsey types.
Do you have a stereotype here, David?
No, not stereotyping at all, but you know,
there's
people...
often a lot of cleavage on display, but I won't go into that at this
stage. I've never been to a horsey thing, so I wouldn't know. But here, of course, it's, as you say, it's like the fanatics and the fans and the enthusiasts of everything that you could possibly name is it. I mean, in fact, you've just got a giant panda walking past you.
Yeah, that happens on so many of our interviews.
It's a Spider-Man and a Ghostbuster. So it just kept me
one of the reasons why probably some of my colleagues have been a bit frightened off today. I said, it's all right, don't worry, all will be well.
It's all right, we're fine. No, it's great fun. It's lovely to meet so many people that have such an enthusiasm for all the shows and everything that just we love and we grew up loving. So it's great, yeah.
Well, it's very much a case of that. We spoke to a couple of colleagues from Starburst magazine a few moments ago, and they were also commenting on the growth of these conventions, because we've always had the big conventions, and certainly for many years 10th Planet Productions and Derek Hamley did some fantastic work and did a whole range of effects, but this really does seem to be a whole growth industry.
Yeah, it's definitely a growth industry, and there are a lot of this sort of event, and I've discussed it with Sam many times, and but we've always said, well, you know, when we were kids growing up, you know, we'd have given our eye teeth to go and met the actors from the shows that we loved on telly. And of course, all you could really do was if they happened to come and open a local Fate or something, that, you know, or the local Woolworths sort of. I mean, that was the only time you get to see celebrities or anything. But here, you can come and you get all of your favourite stars are here. You know, you can chat to them, you can get their autograph on stuff. It's amazing. And combined with that, all of the dealers, and we're here in like Artist Alley as well. So all these amazing comic artists that create the things that we love to read and to appreciate, and then you've got the stall selling all the merchandise and the toys and the classic stuff and the new stuff, and it really is a growth, this, and it just, where's it going to stop? I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger.
I think the great thing is it's a virtuous circle, because it actually feeds into that whole notion of positivity and a whole range of other factors. And if we could just actually turn to some of Telos Publications very own here, I'm looking at the Television Companion, the unofficial and unauthorised guides to Doctor Who, with David J. Howe, of course, your good self, and Stephen James Walker. Notice how you went straight to your books, David.
Well, there you are. Well, when we come to these things, we like to have obviously a small display of our own books, so we've got Sam's books and my books here, but obviously we've also got some of Telos's other books that we publish, because we do so much on all sorts of different things. I mean, we've got Supernatural, Tarzan, Thundercats, Sapphire and Steel, even Rocky Horror Show. I mean, it's like everything we cover the books on, and so it's nice to get the books here, let people see them, so that they can see what we do and hopefully pick up a few bargains and enjoy the books about the things as well.
We'll be obviously sort of following your good self through as the whole day proceeds. I mean, we're here for a couple of hours or so. I think a couple of my colleagues might be coming along if they can make it through the blustery conditions. Plug, of course, for Sam Sturt, etc. Really impressed with the layout and the design, because obviously the stands are very good, but visually it's very appealing. You've got a nice balance between obviously yourself, Telos Communications or telos.co.uk, and Sam Stone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's quite important, and obviously obviously we've kind of developed the banners and developed the display stands and stuff so that we can show the books off to their best ability. We often say that the books are like our babies, and if they're your babies, you want to dress them up in their finest to send them out into the world so they look great. So that's exactly what we do, is we want to give them good covers, we want to make them look good, and then of course we want people to be able to see them and be able to appreciate them. So it's all part of it, is this kind of meeting people, showing the works and getting people to sort of understand, appreciate. And of course books are for reading, so people need to be able to pick them up and flick through them and read them and see what they're getting, which is kind of hard to do online. So it's always nice to be able to do that in person.
This is Shane Rimmer, you are listening to Parsec.
As we were building up to the excitement that is DigiCon, we clearly were delighted to be able to feature for her first radio debut on Siren FM, for both Parsec and indeed the Midweek Drive, the legend that is Sam Stone. Sam, we'll meet in person and you're looking absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's great to meet you for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I've got this wonderful lanyard, which I always like to describe as a bit like the Paddington Bear thing, that if lost, sort of sends to the London Boat Show. But that was another event, really.
I must be getting quite confusing. It starts to blur one after another eventually, doesn't it?
Well, I say that, and as I was mentioning to David earlier, obviously tomorrow about 60 student scripts to be marked. It's all good, but still, never mind.
Yes.
Now, you do get a hold there. I've just obviously done the interview with Shane Rimmer, and it's fascinating being on this side, obviously, of the dealer's table, the celebrity table, if you like. It's almost the celebrity line that we're actually on here, sir.
Yeah, so certainly we're in this line with the wonderful Peter Davison, who is a really marvellous man, the very, very sexy Paul McGann. I can't say the word Paul McGann without putting the word sexy in there, I'm sure. And we've got this beautiful lady, Josephine, who's next to us, who's from Game of Thrones. It's quite a line. It's
absolutely.
Quite a
line. Well, we looked over, sort of, do our usual portfolio of interviews. David, of course, introduced us to Peter Davison. So that was marvellous from that perspective. And, of course, there was the Graham Harper connection. Now, let's talk a bit about Sam Stone. I'm looking at the Vampire Gene trilogy. I'm looking at, obviously, Cat on a Hot Tin Airship, which is fantastic.
So, the latest one. What's Dead Pussycat is the latest one.
There are those of us who are chronologically gifted who will actually make that immediate connection with Tom Jones.
Yes,
others,
yes.
Just check it out on YouTube.
Well, I keep saying to everyone who's a lot of people are reading the Cat Lightfoot books are of a certain generation and don't remember some of these films that I'm kind of pastiching inside the books. And I'm always saying to people, just look for it. Watch the film first and then read the book and you'll get a whole different experience, I think, to have it. You will still enjoy it if you just read the book, but I think you would get a lot more out of it if you do.
It's like the layers of an onion, or as we like to say to it in literary theory, deeper meanings of intertextuality.
Absolutely.
Anyway, apart from that, I never thought I'd actually be citing that at the science fiction event. What are your thoughts of the Doncaster Racecourse as host, obviously, as location that Ash has put together for DigiCon?
Well, it's a big venue, and it certainly seems to be, right now, very packed. So it seems like an ideal venue.
That's very good. And you've obviously travelled up from Lincolnshire today, which is always very exciting. In the not-too-distant future, you'll be hopefully joining us live in the studio for a full midweek drive, as opposed to just being a telephonic link person.
Certainly, and I hope to not let you down this time and be there.
All works splendidly.
All the best laid plans.
let's talk just a little bit about your role as commissioning editor for Telos, because
yes.
Obviously a wide range of stuff that's actually there. Are you impressed with the quality of submissions that you get? Because sometimes when we speak to commissioning authors, they tend to vary from yes, it's fantastic, or we're all doomed, the world's become illiterate.
No, I think there's a variety, to be honest. I think any editor would tell you that you get some work that is really exceptional, you get some that's sort of okay, and then you get some that it's an immediate no, unfortunately, and part of that is just lack of experience sometimes with the writer who's submitting it in the first place, don't quite submit in the right way. And one thing I would say to any aspiring writers who are going to submit to any editors is check out the guidelines and do exactly what they say, because unfortunately editors are so busy that if they get a submission, not necessarily myself because I will still look, but some of them won't even look if it's not in the format that they've asked for. And so, and it also shows that you can take instruction. And editors work with authors, so, I mean, I'm an author in my own right, I have to work with other editors. And it's an interesting process, and you think of it as a collaborative art. You know?
And in the words of Galaxy Quest, never give up, but never surrender, I suppose. As J.K. Rowling will attest to, even though you might not succeed with one publishing house, there might be others that actually do match exactly what you're looking for.
I think if somebody has the shall we say, the wherewithal to actually sit down and write a novel, it may not be the best novel in the world, the first one. I wrote one that I have in a drawer that will never see the light of day, that I wrote for my very first time in 1993.
A missing Sam Stone manuscript, an untold treasure.
It's horrible. I've looked at it recently and it really is terrible. It's atrocious. And everybody's got to start somewhere. And I think the thing is to just keep writing, because the more you do it, the better you get. And always, always submit. But don't expect that the very first thing that you ever write will be. Unlike Stephen King, who is probably the only person I know that's ever done that.
Or was it Richard Bachman? We never know.
Might well have been. He's doppelganger.
Exactly. Different dimension, different field, etc. Sam, it's been fantastic just touching base today. As I say, the sort of assembled team are actually sort of wandering around. Do you get a chance to actually have a wander around yourself? Because obviously we caught up with you earlier when you were sort of speaking to the Bristolian legend that is the Green Cross Code Man. Sorry, Dave Prowse, I know, yes. It's Darth Vader, but what the heck?
Yeah, Dave, I love Dave. I see him at quite a lot of these events. I think I said to you the other day that it is sort of a bit of a family, so most definitely I always make an effort to go out and say hello to those people that I've seen at many of these things, to have a chat with them, give them a hug. You know, it's always great to see them again. So.
Coming on Sunday for Siren 107.3 FM.
What does the future sound like?
The future will be silent.
What does the future sound like?
With your pilots Dave Milling and Alex Levchuk. And a positive galaxy of co-presentational stars. Game of Thrones is clearly one of the most classic sort of routines. In fact, it's one of the shows which has actually got me on one knee now, speaking to the next wonderful celebrity who's actually here, and we're now speaking to
Josephine Gillen. My character name is Mairéad in Game of Thrones.
Now, this is something, Josephine, which has opened up a whole range of sort of aspects, because there are those of us who would actually say Game of Thrones, yes, it's full science fiction stuff, etc., and there are others who say it's fantasy. As somebody who's one of the stars of the whole thing, where would you pitch it?
It's definitely fantasy. It's a lot of it is not real, including the sex scenes, which people might think are real.
But I think it was a reality TV documentary. Unbelievable.
But, I mean, there's a lot of bad things in it. I mean, there's sex, there's incest, there's violence, and
typical day in Doncaster. Sorry, Doncaster.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, no one is actually hurt in the making of the film, or brutally raped, or, you know, all of that sort of stuff. It's all definitely fantasy. Dragons aren't real.
You heard it first, folks. In terms of your own appreciation, had you read the George R. R. Martin piece beforehand, or was it just a case of, well, I'm a jobbing actress, it's another job?
No, I hadn't read the books, and then I just applied for the part, and like, I didn't have a casting. They just said perfect straight away because of my look. I've got that typical like Irish
stunning look. I think stunning.
Oh, thank you. It's the Irish look, you know, the Celtic look. And then I haven't been killed off. I've been in it for season 2, season 3, season 4, and I'm going to be in season 5.
You've survived the Sean Bean experience, clearly.
Yeah, definitely. I think that just as long, the only person that's the same length as me is the main character of the blonde hair. Yeah.
Well, there you are. It's fantastic stuff. Now, how many of these Comic-Con things have you actually done so far? Because it's a whole new field, as I'm just discovering from my own point of view.
Well, same. It's my second one, because I didn't know these things existed, and I didn't know that I could make any money from being in Game of Thrones. I thought it was just Game of Thrones.
Just by being you, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't realise that I could... this existed, so it's all new to me, and I've got a few more lined up for this year. So
genuinely fantastic. Do you want to plug ahead? Where can we actually see you in terms of on tour within the United Kingdom?
I'm going to be in Wales Comic Con in April and Edinburgh Comic Con in April as well.
And do you have a website so that people can actually sort of update and find various other bits and pieces about your good
self? No, I don't, but I'm on Twitter, and it's at official Mairéad.
There we are, sorted through. It's a genuine delight. Take care. I think a whole range of sort of folk are desperately waiting to do that, to take photographs of you being interviewed, which is quite surreal. Many thanks indeed.
All right, thank you very much. Take care. Bye.
Mother, mother, I'm in love with a robot. I'm in love with, she won't like this. Jane, Jane, with the name like a chain. Water drips down her face. I'm not equipped to show pain. Fled together to the slums below. We have nowhere to go. She can't see I lack a soul.
As promised, he is here. We've spoken to Shane Rimmer, of course, who also shared some screen time with the legend, the main man, without whom George Lucas's Empire would not have been in any shape or form. It's Dave Paris. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm very well, actually. I've got a bad knee, but other than that, I'm okay and thoroughly enjoying myself, travelling around the world, doing these conventions.
Looking in good form. Now, Dave, for those of us who are chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced enough, we remember you as the true legend, the Green Cross Code
Man.
But even before that, I was delighted to introduce my pupils to a fantastic piece you did with William Gaunt and Stuart Damon in The Champions.
Gosh, well, you're going way back now, aren't you? You really are going back, yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, I have to ask the question, Dave. Is there any ever going to be a chance at one of these events where you might bring back the leotard?
I don't think so, no. I think the leotard's out of the question at the moment. I mean, I haven't had my weightlifting suit on for donkey's years. But I still train, still exercise, and
But looking in top form, this is why Sam Stone, of course, ace author, is such a fan. So, you know, clearly it's all there. You were speaking to Sam when we came in earlier this morning.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on this, I mean, the fact that we're here at Doncaster Racecourse and it's a really buzzing atmosphere and things are put together, what are your thoughts on this as a location?
Well, I think it's a wonderful location. The only problem for me, actually, is I was here just a few months ago. And, I think it was just before the St. Ledger, actually. And I think if you do these shows too often, the people that come to see the show have already seen you once, and they're not all that interested.
They're not
interested in spending more money on you the second time around. Is it?
I was going to say, Dave,
I'm having a quiet day. Yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I mean, I'm having a quiet day.
People observation. I'm sure that'll change immediately. David was saying nobody could have enough of your good self. You've been asked this question a whole heap of times, but the Star Wars franchise is opening up into a whole new era later on in this year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm very excited about it, to be perfectly honest, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be part of it, because, you know, having been killed off in the final episode that I was in, there's no, you know, I did episodes, I think, what was it, 4, 5, and 6, and then I got killed, you know, and eventually got killed off, and now they're doing 7, 8, 9. So, and of course, unfortunately, there's nothing in it for Darth Vader.
Yes,
but it would have been very, very nice to have been offered another role in the sequence. But so far, nobody's been in touch with me.
Dave, you know the power of fandom, and we'll start it off now with respect to both Parsec and Southside. The campaign will begin here, even if it's a case of we need Darth Vader in a leotard.
No, I don't think you'll get Darth Vader.
I'm not giving up with that, obviously.
He's dead and buried. But I would love to come back. I would love to come back into the Star Wars movies, into the Star Wars trilogy, as another character, and maybe and possibly be seen as Dave Prowse, as it were, you know.
Dave, as ever, I mean, we manage to sort of have a few moments every 4 or 5 years, I think,
and you probably don't remember the whole thing,
but it's been a genuine delight. And the website, of course, is still going strong?
Still going strong, yeah. Still very, very busy, yeah.
So we can obviously access that. Presumably, DaveProwse.com?
You can get in touch with me at DaveProwse.com, yeah. Well, it's DarthVader-StarWars.com, yeah.
Genuine delight. I'm just extraordinary, the range of costumes we actually have here. It's amazing.
It really is amazing, yeah, I know. And whenever I do these shows, I mean, I do them on a sort of regular basis, you know. I think this is one of the best best shows that, you know, for costumes that I've ever seen. They really are really good.
Well, hopefully that message will get out there, Dave. As ever, a genuine privilege, and we will see you again very soon.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. Nice talking to you.
On location report, we were speaking to Shane Rimmer, of course, who was the original captain in Space Precinct, the pilot. But I'm looking now at a wonderful stand, which is, I think, the Space Precinct stand, of course, Gerry Anderson's Space Precinct. I know Jamie would be proud if he was actually looking at this. We're speaking now to a delightful soul whose name is
Karen Grover.
Karen, there are those folk who might sort of have passed the 90s by for whatever reason and thought, Space Precinct. Oh, I didn't know Gerry Anderson did that, but of course he did. And you've got some fabulous stuff here from Space Precinct, the series.
Yes, it was 20 years ago, and when it was made, it was the most expensive show on TV at the time. What we have here is the original moulds that all the alien heads were made from. So we have Tarns, we have Creons, and we have Morgo, who was the big baddie of the piece, along with a prototype head that was actually used in the Shane Rimmer Space Police series.
Has Shane seen it as yet?
He has. We've met him a couple of times.
And over the other way today, of course.
He is. He was going to be near us, but they moved him.
Well, he's next door to Telus Publications, and he's looking after my coat, so, you know, all's well with the world.
He's doing a very important job.
Exactly.
We also have a collection of some of the toys and the card games that people who watched the show as children would know and love from Christmas, you know, 1994. Some of the other props we have are original badges, some of the guns, and we have original shirt and leather jacket. And of course, and we have the lovely original Richard James, who was in the show.
She's even more wonderful. Hopefully we'll catch a few words with Richard in a few moments. Of course, Ted Shackelford, he wouldn't get this with Knots Landing, would he?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Looking at the series, and of course, I think it was last year we did a feature with a wonderful documentary maker who had actually produced a Blu-ray of behind the scenes at Space Precinct. I don't know if you've actually seen that.
I have, yeah.
But I mean, clearly there is a buzz about the series that is very positive, that's actually growing.
Definitely. It was one of those things, if you saw it as a child, you now realise how it was made. And it was way ahead of its time in the way they made the props, the masks. Nowadays, it would be CGI and probably a lot cheaper. But at the time, it was real cutting-edge special effects. And for me, that's what intrigued me in Space Precinct.
And whatever happened to Nancy Paul after she did a fantastic line in a movie with, in fact, Rupert Baker, what our other colleagues call Life Force. She did Space Precinct and seems to have just faded from the era, really.
Many of the actors and actresses who were in the show were very talented and have gone off to do a wide range of other things. The lovely actress that made...
Simone Bendix.
Simone. She's now a political activist in France.
Well, obviously, best not go too far down that line today, given current sort of situations, but what the hey. I mean, from a Space Precinct to Paris could be a different line entirely.
Yes, of course. But it does have a place in a lot of people's hearts. It came out of the Gerry Anderson stable. It was the last show that he did. So, again, it is special.
Last live show. Let's not forget Captain Scarlet's The New Adventures. I mean, I know that was sort of crippled at the time. And indeed, Lavender Castle. But Jamie Anderson would be very annoyed if we said it was a wonderful series, though, certainly.
It was. And we love it. And we're happy to come and show people at this wonderful event a little bit of Anderson history.
So we'll bring on Ed Wellman, who's my colleague here, who's had his comfort break, so all sorted through here.
He's doing looking some at the fast thing. Learning today, just reading the text there to get myself in the mood. Is there an iconic quote?
For me, it's always been the visuals. So it's the heads and the costumes. The characters do add to that. I don't have a favourite quote, but my favourite character was Captain Podley, who seems
Captain
to put
Podley.
Up with quite a lot.
Reminiscent of so many acting heads of department, I couldn't tell you, but there we are.
And is this Podley here?
No, this is one of the other Creons.
Right, okay. You've got to identify your Creons here, Ed.
Yes, I think I shall be applying these names to people I work with, actually. I think they could well fit.
Very important there. And you've even got Officer Beazle's police badge as well. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that was a piece that's been loaned to us by another collector. Because our whole point is to get these things seen by people that love them, other collectors have loaned us things and are giving us things that we can take and show. Because to have an assemblage from one show, from one Anderson show, is quite special. Very little was kept of any of the shows, so often what you see are replicas, not the originals that Gerry actually handled and touched.
And do you liaise much with Jamie Anderson, of course? I mean, one of our good friends and regular sort of keeper of the Anderson flame?
Yes, we do. I'm actually helping him on his Gemini Force project.
It is good.
Which
it?
Is one of his new things. I've replicated one of the outfits from the book that he's taking out and showing people. So fingers crossed it gets made on the big screen.
It will. We've got that. You see, that's the thing, Ed, that I just find so wonderful about events such as this. Again, hats off to Ash for the Digicon team. Not only have you got exhibitors, and obviously you've got dealers and a whole range of things, but you've got people like our Space Precinct crew here. As I'm sure you've got genuine museum artifacts, you've got a range of things for the series. It's a cornucopia of the phantasmagorical.
Definitely. And if Jamie ever gets a home for all Anderson, we would loan him this collection so that more people can see it and enjoy it, because after all it was a little bit of our youth.
Well, more than that, I've said this time and time again, Gerry Anderson is the British Walt Disney, you know, there's no question about it.
Definitely. And the way he used puppets was very new, different, and the live action dramas.
Thank you.
excellent, truly wonderful in its own way. And the reason we actually sort of featured, and not one, but two tracks from Lindsay Gold on the contemporary edition of Parsec is quite simply because you've got the whole exciting world of Lindsay Gold writing Silver for the Tanith Lee text, I'm in Love with a Robot, etc. And well, technically, that was the latest one, which was Tilney, and it's based on Northanger Abbey. Nothing to do with science fiction, unless, of course, you have a uniform line of science fiction. The whole sort of emphasis of the whole thing. But good news, because as promised at the start of this edition of Parsec, which is going to be the February edition of Parsec, yeah, what happened to January, you might well say? Well, it sort of slipped by with our DigiCon package, which we're bringing you a whole heap of goodies from. But Dave Milling is with us in the studio. How are you, Dave?
Very good, thank you, Alex. How are you? Happy New Year.
Well,
to all our Parsec followers.
Time is such an illusion. Online, we actually have a legendary crime writer, which I say fits in with your other job and other.
Certainly does, yes.
Although she is also a passionate and very keen and very erudite science fiction follower as well. Might indeed be putting together a science fiction text, which is very, very interesting. Don't think we can persuade her to talk about it, though, because it's all to do with all sorts of... Anyway, Jenny Finch, welcome to your first
hello,
ever
Jenny.
Parsec.
Thank you. Welcome and hello.
Hello, Jenny.
It's just splendid. Now, Jenny, you're here as I'm just about to present... Dave Milling, our co-presenter on Parsec, with a little audio treat that he probably hadn't been expecting, but I figured it's what he deserves. Are you ready to actually be present as we celebrate this little ident that we've done just for Dave Milling?
Absolutely.
Here it comes.
Hello, this is Peter Davison. I was the Fifth Doctor, and you listen to Parsec on Siren FM.
There we
Hooray.
Are. So, yeah,
thank
Peter
you.
Davison, we didn't just simply go from that point of view at DigiCon, and we've already heard from Dave Prowse, of course. When I did indeed suggest, I'm saying again, even if you haven't heard the first part of the programme, that he may consider bringing Darth Vader back in a leotard, thereby putting together two of his most famous routines as Darth Vader and indeed the leotard wearing weightlifter of the Champions TV series.
But he'll have obviously somebody else dubbing his voice, won't he?
Well, I think that goes without saying. Although, as we've said, Jenny, given that your trilogy of Alex Hastings novels have all tied into the excitement of the West Country scenario, you see, they're online already. Dave Price's agent, he's phoning me up, he's saying, please, sort us through this. Go away. It's all right. We're doing a recording here. Just sort it out. Jenny, your story is based in the West Country, so no of the farce it'll be with you, Luke.
Sorry, what was that? Are you all right, Alex? You're having some kind of episode.
See, this is why we lose Dave Milling into the zone time and time again. Anyway, the point is, Jenny, do you think that Darth Vader would work with a Bristol accent or a West Country accent?
I'm not sure he'd be quite as scary, but to be honest, here I am trying to get the vision of him in a leotard out of my head, and that's terrifying.
We always like to push the boundaries here on Parsec, 107.3 FM for Siren, and that's just one example of that whole system. Briefly, it's because we other guests on Parsec as we move into our second year, actually, because it's actually coming up to our first anniversary, Dave, when we started these monthly
science fiction shows,
podcasts, call them what you will, as long as they're good sort of possible things. Jenny is a crime writer, and indeed we've featured, as a Paul Terry and... range of other fine folk who realise that genres blur in all sorts of ways, etc. Jenny, just share with us your writing scenario, because unlike Dave Milling, you have successfully, because we both co-presented the Book of the Month show that actually referred to it, covered in full force Paul Terry's recommendation of the Raw Shark text, have we not?
We have indeed. What an extraordinary book.
Dave, have you got any further? No. So there we are.
I will read it before March, I promise, because otherwise I'm off the show, I've been told.
It's well worth it, really.
Okay,
it's
I will
very
do.
Good.
Anyway, my point being, before I hand over interviewing duties, I don't know why, to Dave Milling, talk to us a bit about your own crime writing scenario and how, as I say, the Alex Hastings trilogy of plays, which is set in the 80s, when Dave was probably just about respectable, is critical reading, even if you're a science fiction fan. I say, but there's not a great deal of science fiction in this. It's social work and crime drama and thriller drama and so on. And curious enough, of course, Jenny, as you rightly said, the City of Lincoln is going to be hosting a crime festival in February, I believe.
Oh, dear me. That doesn't sound too good, really. Does that mean people are going to dress up in sort of stripy jumpers and have big bags?
But it's going to be even worse than that. It's the Crime Writers Association.
Oh,
so people are going to be walking around, watching everything, writing it all down and plotting.
Jenny, with respect to your books, are they in the pre-paste days?
In the?
Pre-paste days, Police and Criminal Evidence Act.
Oh, very good.
Ah, depends which one. The Police and Criminal Evidence Act did impact on them, and there was a big change that came about after 1987.
Yes, tell me about it. I deal with it every day.
Yeah. And so, yes, the advantage of writing about the 80s is that you haven't got a lot of modern technology.
Yes.
And you've got much more old-fashioned policing, but you've got a lot of reform round about that time, and you've got a whole new police system, and you've got a whole new series of police departments. Mm-hmm. And so they, and the prison service, and the probation service changed almost out of recognition over the duration of the novels. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write about them.
Yes, because, of course, the CPS came into fruition around that time as well, didn't they? Because it used to be police-led prosecutions.
That's right. And, in fact, lawyers used to breach clients who'd broken probation orders, and then suddenly they decided it was costing too much money and made the probation officers do it in court. So there were a lot of changes. In many ways, the probation service was just hung out to dry on its own.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Oh, fantastic. So basically your books take a sort of start pre-pace, go through the whole of the changes of the criminal justice system, and then come out the other side.
They kind of limp out the other side, yes. An awful lot of people were kind of spat out the other side, because the emphasis, particularly after the 87 election, changed from advise, assist, befriend, which was still technically your job description. You were increasingly supposed to punish people within the community. And it wasn't a good match for a bunch of social workers, which is what you had in the probation service. They were social work trained. And so you got an awful lot of conflicts between roles and people who found it harder and harder to actually fulfil what was expected of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go with that.
In case you're listening and you think we've actually switched to a complete... Well, hello, there we are.
It's canine.
It's nice to see that the canines are sort of alive and happy and willing to contribute and obviously thinking, yeah, exactly, it's called Parsec. I could translate that, dog speak. It's called Parsec. It's supposed to be talking about science fiction. What are you talking about this sort of 1980s crime fiction for?
Yeah.
Well, it's only right. You know, we may be talking about transgendered individuals in Africa before too long.
Yes.
That's a different line of time. Jenny, we had a treat for Dave Milling earlier. We've got a treat for your good self now, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us whilst this audio treat provides. I was thinking initially William Shatner and his version of Rocket Man, but I thought no, exactly. So I thought we'd hold fire on that, and we will return to talk more matters SF, and also how you, Jenny Finch, can perhaps assist Dave Milling in a big decision he's got to make with respect to his family. We might also talk, and I know we'll talk about your views on Peter Capaldi as Doctor Who, and indeed other sort of reflection of the whole thing. All this and more after this.
Our whole universe was in a hot dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang. Hey! Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap, but they were late and they all died. They closed their asses. The oceans in Pangaea, see a wooden bar be a set in motion by the same Big Bang. It all started with a Big Bang. It's expanding ever outward, but one day it will pause and start to go the other way. Collapsing ever inward, we won't be here, it won't be heard. Our best and brightest figure, the sick of us debating how we're here, they're catching deer.
We're catching viruses.
Religion or astronomy.
We conquered Deuteronomy.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Music and mythology.
Einstein and astrology. It all started with the Big Bang.
It all
Not, of course, that Jenny is a bare-naked lady, but it was the bare-naked ladies who were singing the Big Bang Theory theme there. No, we're not. Please, it's all right. Jenny, did you appreciate that?
I've never heard it all the way through. I appreciated that very much. Thank you.
There we are. Jennyfinch.me.uk is the website if you wish to actually find out more goodies. And in fact, Dave, you've already said in betwixt the music there that you'd like to speak more to Jenny about all sorts of things.
Well, yes. It was moving away from the bare naked ladies, hopefully, if we can. Obviously, the thing. But yeah, Jenny, I'd like to speak to you more about your sort of writing. With respect to that, so if I may send you an email, because obviously it sort of compliments my day job, shall we just say.
Are you okay for me to actually pass on email addresses
absolutely,
then?
Please do. Yep, that would be great.
Thank you, because I can probably give you you probably already aware, but I can probably give you a modern insight into crime today.
That sounds intriguing.
Oh, yes, it does. Exactly. And just going on from the constraints, what you talk about, the probation service and the police and the CPS, etc., from that sort of point, and you'll probably find that it's quite interesting.
So let's move on. Jenny, Doctor Who. We were talking about Peter Capaldi, a range of other factors. I mean, Dave, first of all, because you're a major Who fan, clearly our friends at the TARDIS, the Ritz,
yes,
full sort of debates from that point of view. A big fan of the Fifth Doctor. Share with us, and Jenny, of course, your own sort of feelings on the series now it's wrapped. And the Christmas special, of course.
Well, the Christmas special, I actually missed it on Christmas Day because we were around family, uh-huh, and I taped it. And I watched it the day after. With my little boy Peter, who's just turned six, and I honestly say that I have totally, I think that one episode at Christmas has totally brought back Doctor Who as it should be. Real good family fun, frightening, funny, scary. Fantasies come back into it as well, and I just thought, you know, we're watching here Doctor Who with Father Christmas, with dreams in dreams, with...
I don't think it was Stephen Moffat retconning the whole series saying, well, it doesn't matter what happens, if the moon can be an egg, it can be, you know, it's all dream, it's all part of that system. I won't share. Jenny,
yeah, I just thought it was just... Okay, this is just wonderful.
Okay.
It's just good old-fashioned story writing.
Well, that's the word from Dave Milling. What about your good self? Because I think, although you like Peter Capaldi, he's not necessarily your all-time favourite.
What, Doctor? He's coming close to it. I loved David Tennant, but I'm not sure he was exactly Doctor Who.
Yeah.
My favourite Doctor remains Tom Baker, but I can remember I'm old enough to remember the very first Doctor Who, the day it was broadcast. Many, many, many years ago.
Well,
so I've seen
1963,
him come and go. 1963.
52 years ago, nearly.
Very fuzzy black and white. Now, that was atmospheric. Yeah. I agree. I think this year's Christmas special was terrific. I really enjoyed it. I think it was better than a lot that we've seen recently.
Yeah.
So there we are. We're sorted on that particular basis then. Moving on, this advice, Dave. There's so many great movies that are actually around in terms of sequences. We've got clearly Ex Machina, which I think is fantastic. You've got Jupiter Ascending. Big Hero 6 you're talking about. You've already been to see that. But what's your challenge that you've actually got? Maybe Jenny might be able to help with.
Well, wife's a big sci-fi fan as well, and she's really into The Hobbit. I have to say that I fell asleep in all three Hobbit films for a variety of different reasons, and for a different number of length of minutes, the second being the longest kip, I have to say. But I was just wondering, she's very big into her sci-fi, and probably a bit more than me, actually, and I want to know, I just could do with a bit of advice. I don't know whether to take her to Ex Machina, Project Almanac, which is, of course, a group of young lads who basically experiment with the time machine and try and correct past mistakes, and it all goes horribly wrong. A bit like the butterfly effect, I'd imagine. Or the wonderful Matrix-esque Jupiter Ascending.
Ooh.
This could be crucial in terms of marital bliss, Jenny, so no pressure, but I know you can actually answer.
Well, I refuse to take it to 50 Shades of Grey, because...
In that case, you're already winning. You're okay. You're already winning. Nobody should go go and watch 50 Shades of Grey. I would be tempted by Jupiter Ascending because I think it's got slightly more of a fantasy element and it relies slightly less on CGI. Somehow I'm kind of strangely drawn towards that.
Yes. And also it's got Sean Bean in, hasn't it?
Oh, why didn't you say? Honestly, men. No contest. Sean Bean, go for it.
And Mila Kunis for the lads. It's got Mila Kunis.
I'm not sure whether fine Croatian sort of actress that she actually is, the publicist for Jupiter Ascending and indeed the Wachowski brother and sister would actually realign surgery, which is why I say if the Wachowskis can realign their genders, why not parts of Africa? It's a special package that Paul Terry is actually involved with, which we'll find out more about. In fact, the more I think about it, it fits perfectly into Parsec, actually.
It does, especially if we can have a dog barking in the background.
She's gone to sleep now.
It's always important. Well, it's clearly she was concerned about the sort of crash. Now we're talking about science fiction. So it's all right. I can just sort of chill out on.
I saw a little bit of a review on it on Film 15, I suppose it is, last night, and they said Claudia Winkleman said it's they've packaged something that should be like 1,000 hours into 2 hours, which makes it a fantastic rip roaring film. Unlike The Hobbit, which packaged something that could have probably been done into 2 hours into about 6.5.
I couldn't believe he made The Hobbit into 3 films. Lord of the Rings, that was 3 books. But The Hobbit? Oh, dear.
Yeah, the second film, I generally inspected my eyelids. because it was so dark. It was so dark and it was so gloomy and it was Boxing Day when we went to see it because that was my wife's birthday. And I'd sort of fell asleep in that one. But the third one, I only had a little kip before the fight. And Sian sort of elbowed me because I started to snore like a hippo, I think. And she said to me, she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm having a kip." She said, "Well, they're about to start fighting soon." I said, "Yeah, well, everybody knows you've got to have a kip before a fight."
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just because, you know, the build-up is that. But, yeah, I will try Jupiter Ascending. And have you ever actually done any science fiction crime writing? You know, a bit like there used to be Star Cops, which...
Tech War,
yes.
Do androids dream of electric sheep? Flow my tears, the policeman said, to name just two Philip K. Dick
novels. Man in the High Castle.
Yes. Exactly.
Not directly like that, but I have got a couple of futuristic crime books that I'm working on, which look at alternative universes or particularly abuse of technology.
Oh, surprise.
I mean, Jenny, you're perfectly at liberty to say no, absolutely no. But then technically you can actually say in terms of putting the idea out of Parsec automatically means it's copyrighted. But the idea about memory I thought was fantastic. How far do you want to share that or not at all?
I'd like to just throw the concept out there, hoorah for copyright.
Yes.
The idea being that we all have memory. We have huge amounts of memory, and memory sticks and cards and hard drives and clouds and more memory than we can ever use in our lives. We squander it. We assume it's infinite. What if it's not? What if it works like entropy? And if it's finite, what happens when it runs out?
Is that high concept or is that high concept? What happens if memory is actually a finite concept?
Sorry, I've forgotten the question. Sorry, that's really bad. I really like that concept, and I really do, because what happens, do things start failing? And if they started failing, what would that mean for civilization?
Right.
That's a very, very good question.
There would be huge memory wars. Everybody needs memory, wants memory. So you would go to the biggest source of memory you can find and try and get it.
Yes, Norris McWhirter.
No longer with us.
Exactly.
This is Shane Rimmer. You are listening to Parsec.
He got there in the end.
Yes, I thought that. Wind it up, Alex.
it's always important. You see, I mean, the reverse of that, when we actually go to Telos publications, is...
Hello, this is David J. Howe from Telos Publishing Limited, and you're listening to Parsec on Siren FM.
No messing about yourself, David.
Straight in there.
Straight in there, bang.
Even Peter Davison had a bit of hesitation.
We haven't had a chance to actually feature the interview. If you want to have a look at the interview, go to our website on Location Reports, and it's all about DigiCon. We've given you some clips of the event in the first part of Parsec today, and, of course, just for Dave Milling.
Hello, this is Peter Davison. I was the Fifth Doctor, and you listen to Parsec on Siren FM.
But I think that was deliberate acting, his ah. You know, his ah. You know, I think that was part of the whole...
Yeah.
that sort of scripting thing. I don't know if you'd like to pass any comment on that, Jenny, with your sort of cinematic sort of hat on and director's hat. Did you think there was a slight edge in that, or do you think the delivery was good?
I think the delivery was perfect, because part of that particular doctor's speech pattern was always an "ah," and then he'd say something.
Exactly.
So I think he slipped right back into character.
Well, yes, Jenny, I have been had there. Well and truly.
Celebrate and rejoice. Jenny, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self again today. And thank you for joining us for the first time, of course, on Parsec. Do you think she's passed the audition day?
I actually think Jenny has passed the audition, and I'm well and truly enamoured with her memory wars.
Sorry.
Well, I've had a lovely time, and thank you very much. And I'm so glad I passed. I was really nervous.
Yes. And I'll send you an email about more wonderful sort of.
I would suggest that Dave actually read some of your books, but whether he'd actually get through, I don't know. I mean, it's, we'll just sort of wedge through there.
They should be adapted for telly, because then I could watch them when I'm ironing.
You know, I'd go for that any time.
Yeah. Get that sort of through. That's the wrap for this edition of Parsec. Dave, thank you for actually joining us once again. We're back probably for a double edition in February sometime along the way. We thank all the folk who've contributed to the show. Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Shane Rimmer, of course, with his idents and so on. And, of course, your good self. Dave, how can people get in touch with Parsec on Twitter and all those sort of things? How can they reach us?
Tweet us Parsec_SirenFM. I think one is it. I've forgot the Twitter address.
You see, he's forgotten the Twitter address.
@Parsec_SIG.
That's it. You see, as in Spectrum is green, as in Siren is go, as in all sorts of other areas. That's your social networking. We'll be back with Parsec in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, or maybe in March. I don't know.
Probably March.
Jenny Finch, thank you. We're going out with the Moody Blues, Stepping in a Slide Zone.
Thank you, Jenny.
Talk.